In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Christos voskrese. Christunum muriuku. That's a Kenyan dialect that we like. What was the most important day of Thomas the Apostle's life? What was the most important day of his life? His birth, the time he met Christ, when Christ was resurrected. It's none of those three. It's Thomas Sunday. Why was it so important? Because his unbelief was cured. Because the Lord appeared to him and showed him that he was alive. Now, you know my favorite question, many of you guys. I guess I shouldn't say my favorite question because I ask a lot of questions. It's one of my favorite questions. What's the most important Sunday of the year for an Orthodox Christian? Today. For the same reason it's important for Thomas. And we have to do the same thing Thomas did. So really, the message today, it might be, if you look back, about the same every time. Because it's a really important and a really simple message, but really important. To put it simply, stick around. To put it simply, endure. The scripture says, he who endures to the end will be saved. Now I'm taken by how the story of Thomas and his unbelief is presented in the gospel. Now, when the gospel was written, it was written basically without any punctuation. So everything ran together. So there weren't sentences, there weren't verses, there weren't numbers, etc. But we've versified it. And so we have where it says, where the apostles are saying, we've seen the risen Lord. And he says, I don't believe. So he says, except I shall see in my hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Period. We put a period there because of the rules of syntax of our language. And then immediately the evangelist says, and after 8 days, between that period and the next sentence is 8 days. 8 days of Thomas saying he did not believe. But Thomas was still around. Now it's easy to believe when things are going easy. It's easy to love people who are lovely. It's easy to like people who are likable. It's easy to praise God when things are wonderful. But Thomas stuck around those 8 days, and he didn't believe that the Lord was risen. So everything that he believed about Jesus during his life, that he was the Messiah, he didn't believe anymore. But what made him stick around? What made him stick around? Anybody know?
His want.
His want? Okay.
Hope.
What's that?
Hope.
His hope? Okay. But I would say behind that, or a predecessor of that, a prerequisite of his want and his hope, is love. He didn't have a whole lot of knowledge. He was wrong. And he was a little bit rude about it too, right? Unless I see his hands and his side, I'm not going to believe. That's a little bit kind of putting it in a crude way. But because of his love, he couldn't bear to have untrue what he believed to be untrue. So he stuck around. That's really the whole extent of what we need to know about Thomas Sunday. He stuck around. Now, there's a lot of incredible theology in here. There's the institution of the confession, and there's the Lord promising the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord's body is a perfected body because he went through doors, and lots of other stuff. But the most important thing is this. Unless you stick around, none of the other stuff makes any difference. You could have the Bible memorized, but if you don't stick around, then it makes no difference. And what do I mean by stick around? I don't mean just keep plodding to church every once in a while. I mean actively pursuing God in your heart, in your day-to-day life, not to be a secular person. Most Orthodox Christians are secular people. That's true, in my experience. Because they pray very little, they read very little, and really, I don't see a whole lot of difference in the personalities and the psychological problems between Orthodox Christians and people outside of the church. That's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. And I think the major reason is because too few of us are like Thomas. We have to keep our faith. And so I would submit to you that as a priest, I see it all the time, that there is a sin, often that people don't understand, don't really confess it because they don't understand that this is their sin, of despondency. Now, despondency is unbelief. Despondency is not necessarily unhappiness or depression. We kind of equate that word with depression in our language. But it isn't necessarily so. Despondency is not really having faith in God. Not believing that God can do all things. Not believing that everything in your life is subject to God and can be changed by God. That's despondency. And with despondency, we focus on other things rather than spiritual things. But we must be like Thomas. He didn't believe, but he wasn't really telling the truth about that. Because there was a piece of him that believed. It wasn't very strong, but it was there. And what kept him with the apostles was love. And with that love, his great desire, his great want for Christ to be alive. And that's why Thomas stayed. And that's what we must do. That's the most critical thing we can really do in our life. Maybe you can't be a very good person. Maybe you'll never be free of certain sins. Maybe you'll always be a little lazy. Maybe you'll have some bad habits. But if you submit everything to God and struggle against it, and don't make excuses for your bad habits. Now, you can't say, well, you know, I'm only human. That's why I do this stuff. That's not right. But to submit your whole life to God, including the parts that aren't working right now, and maybe haven't worked for a long time, that's doing what Thomas is doing, waiting on the Lord. And then the Lord came that eighth day, that next Sunday, and showed Thomas his hands and his feet. And then Thomas said something. And this is not only a statement, a theological statement, a fact, and the first one in the Bible stated in such a way, but also it's a prophecy of what's going to happen to us. The statement of fact is, my Lord and my God. He is saying, thou art man and thou art God. He's confessing the dual nature of Christ, his divinity and his humanity. It's the first clear reference in the Gospels, because everywhere else, a lot of times Christ would show that he's God, show that he's man. This one, Thomas is saying, you are man and you are God. And why do I say it's a prophecy? This is the exciting part. It's a prophecy. You have to learn to read Scripture in a spiritual way. Because the Scripture doesn't say this explicitly, but I'm telling you, it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy because Thomas went through 8 days of unbelief, 8 days of torment, thinking his hopes were dashed, but still sticking around. And then when the Lord came, all the unbelief went away. It was just gone, like a bubble that was burst and gone. And he could say with full conviction, without any doubt whatsoever, my Lord and my God, and give himself totally to God. Now that's what we're trying to do. Some of us do better than others. Some of us do better sometimes, and other times we don't do so good in submitting to God and in really believing. And really believing that everything that is in our life is not only subject to him, but that he can fix everything. Do we believe that? Examine yourself. Do you really believe he can fix everything? If you don't, then you're just a member of the human race. Don't feel like you're the only person doing this. But what will help you overcome this is to be like Thomas. And the way we're like Thomas, we don't have apostles to stick around with and stay in the upper room, but we do have the life in the church. We do have reading of the Scriptures. We do have our prayer. especially when we pray with our heart as best we can, not just reciting prayers from books, which is good to do. I do it. But I also emphasize praying the Jesus prayer as best I can. And it's not very good, but I do it. And I'm waiting for when Jesus Christ reveals himself to me in such a way that there's nothing else. Just him. There's no longer any noise. There's no longer any sin, any doubt, any regret, any darkness. Just him. That's why I say this is a prophecy. Because in the next life, God will be all in all, and we will be with the Lord, as St. Paul talks about in Thessalonians. And we'll just be with him. And there will only be God. And there won't be pain, and there won't be suffering, and there won't be doubt, and there won't be regret, and there won't be shame, and there won't be unrequited desire. Only God. Only my Lord and my God. That's what it'll be in the next life. That's what we should be aiming for. Now, if you're not living every day of your life for that, then I'll tell you, you're kind of not doing it right. Because regardless of whether you have sins and weaknesses and stuff like that, those are just stupid human tricks. What's important is, what are you living for? Are you living for God? Are you living for the truth? Are you living for your purpose? Might not be doing a very good job of it some days, but is that what's important to you? If it is, then your 8 days will be your lifetime. And at the end of your 8 days, the Lord will reveal himself to you so fully that there will be no doubt of anything else. And there will be no room for anything else. God will completely possess your heart such that there will be no sin or darkness. That's what we're waiting for. And we have to live like Thomas in order to do it. We have to be willing to wait, to willing to struggle. Don't give up. That's really the story of Thomas. It's a wonderful story. And I'm glad that you came in order to hear it, in order to worship God on the Sunday after Pascha. Because it shows that you're Christians. So many people do not come. Because after all, they're tired. Or maybe their tummy hurts or something like that because they've had so much to eat during the week or whatever. It's critical to come. We don't want to be like those other 9 lepers, do we? There's only one that came back and thanked God. So we are the lepers today, that one leper, coming back and thanking God that he rose from the dead and that sometime in our life, he's going to reveal himself so powerfully to us that there will be nothing else but him. No other noise, no other sin. Christ is risen.